This is a podcast from RNIB's Insight Radio.
Here on Insight Radio, we often have stories around independence and mobility for blind and partially sighted people. And guide dogs are just one of those. In fact, I'm a guide dog owner myself, so I know the benefits that that can bring. But we often highlight stories where people have been refused access purely because they have a guide dog, a service animal. It could be taxis, it could be restaurants. And it's just not right. It's also against the law to refuse. It doesn't seem to stop some organisations and individuals refusing access, though. We have with us Emma Allen-Taylor from Guide Dogs to tell us a little bit more. Emma, sadly, these stories are happening all too often. Is it down to people, businesses, etc., just not understanding the rules?
I think in the majority of cases, that's definitely the case. I don't think we deliberately have people that are awkward. We sometimes just come across people who don't really have a very good understanding of the law, particularly in the case of kind of restaurants or premises that serve food. People think that the guide dogs, they're not allowed in because of health and safety reasons, but it's just not the case at all. And the Equality Act means that as a guide dog owner or anybody with an assistance dog, you have the right to go into that premises and use that just as somebody would if they didn't have a guide dog. So it's just trying to educate more service providers really on what their responsibilities should be under the Equality Act.
So if someone is a guide dog owner, really they should be accepted pretty much anywhere with the dog?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There only are a few exceptions, such as certain wards on hospitals, but they should be able to go into any kind of food premises. There is food premises sometimes where they might be serving buffet lunches, so they might not always want the dogs to go right up to where the food might be at kind of dog level. But in those kind of situations, we would expect that a reasonable adjustment was provided, and that might be something like waiter service. So if they show the guide owner to a table, they might then expect to get waiter service. But the dogs are, you know, they're kept very clean, they have regular health checks, and they are allowed to go, you know, basically everywhere with the guide dog owner.
Now, we talk about the refusal, and that can have a real detrimental effect on the owner as well.
It can be really devastating. You know, often if you go into a restaurant or a hotel, and, you know, often people have built up to getting their guide dog and going out on these journeys, and to be turned away, you know, people really do feel humiliated. It really is an unpleasant experience, and it can really ruin someone's day or completely knock their confidence, and it can stop them going out in some cases, which, you know, isn't what our charity is about. We really want people to get out and about and be as mobile as they possibly can be.
Emma, we'll get some advice from you shortly on what to do if you're a guide dog owner or you're with someone who's a guide dog and they are refused access somewhere. But I want to highlight a good news story first of all. We have with us Janet Lawton from the Renaissance Hotel in Manchester, a part of the Marriott Group. And Janet, you guys really welcome guide dog owners and seem to go the extra mile.
Yeah, well, our understanding is that people who have guide dogs, those dogs play a really important role in ensuring their independence. And I guess with a guide dog, we'll be given, you know, the same access to our hotel facilities and services as any other guest.
Could you give us an example then? I mean, if, say, someone was phoning up for a reservation or turned up at your hotel and they said that they were a guide dog owner, for example, what could they expect?
Well, all of our staff undergo what we call equality training, which really helps them to understand quite a few different types of disabilities and individual needs that guests might have. But ultimately, it's really important for them to engage with the guests when they first arrive and find out what they can do to help that person. So in general, some of the training that we give to our staff dealing with people with visual impairments is actually asking them what we can do to help, first of all. Things like escorting them to their rooms, showing them round, explaining where the lighting is, where the different facilities are in the bedroom, how to, you know, turn the aircon on, where the hairdryer is, where the coffee and tea making facilities are, for example. We also have very clear rules and policies if the event of emergency. So we would make a note at reception if we have, you know, a blind or visually impaired guest staying with us. And a member of staff is allocated the responsibility to actually go and check on that person to help them evacuate the building if necessary. And we will explain the fire evacuation rules and policies to them when they come, so that they're reassured that we know that they're there and we know how to help them in the event of an emergency.
That assistance has been recognised yet?
Yes, absolutely. We recently had a lady by the name of Sangeeta who stayed with us with her guide dog Ranger, and she actually sent a wonderful letter to the guide dogs just telling us how she'd really enjoyed her stay and really recognising that our staff here at the hotel went out of their way to really accommodate her and to look after her and make sure that her needs were met. And this is great for us to read. I'm quite pleased to say that the service that Sangeeta experienced with her guide dog is the service that we would offer. You know, that is what I'd expect our staff to do here, and that's how we train them, you know, to really work with somebody and make sure we meet their needs when they stay at the hotel.
Emma, that's really what you want to hear from a business, isn't it? It's that whole, you're not treated any differently from any other guest, and that there is reasonable adjustment there to, in the hotel's example, have a pleasant stay.
Absolutely. It's so good to hear something like that, because all too often people will focus on the negative aspect of kind of access refusals. So rarely do we sometimes hear when people get it right. But this should be everyday normal kind of expectation. If you're a guide dog owner, you should be able to just walk into a hotel or a restaurant and be able to use it. But it is really nice to hear when a hotel gets it right and they go that extra mile and they make somebody feel welcome. Particularly, I know Sangeeta's had, you know, issues the other side with access where things haven't gone quite, you know, as well as we would have hoped. So it is really nice to get a nice positive story.
Janet, it's not, if I can use this phrase, it's not rocket science to actually do this, to find out what people's needs are and to train staff. And you're in an industry as well where there possibly is a high turnover of staff as well. So is the equality part really embedded in the training?
Yes, absolutely. It's something that we actually cover within our induction training. We give a very good overview during induction with all our staff, and then it's followed up on a 6-monthly basis. We do refresher equality training with our staff members. And like you say, I mean, it isn't rocket science. A lot of it is common sense. And if you understand how to talk to a guest and to ask the right questions and find out what you can do to meet their needs, most of these things will become quite easy, you know, to establish what help we can actually give to somebody. I don't understand, you know, when I hear some of the comments and, you know, Emma's saying that a lot of people have difficulties. I don't understand why some businesses find it so difficult to accommodate people with guide dogs.
And Janet, did Ranger enjoy his stay?
Yes, I believe he did, yes. And I know that the staff did help move some of the furniture around a bit to make it a bit more comfortable, and not only for Sangeeta, but for Ranger to get around as well. And I know that they showed Sangeeta a place that she could take him, you know, where he could take toilet breaks, where it was safe for them to get to. But yes, I believe so.
Fantastic. Emma, if people do find themselves in a situation where they are refused access, what's the advice from guide dogs?
I mean, we would always tell people to contact us as well. Once all of our guide dog owners are qualified, we give them lots of information in case they ever come up against anything like this. So we'll tell them what the law says, and they're able to carry a little card that they get from the environmental house that says that their dog should be accepted in different eateries. So they'll be armed with that kind of knowledge, but it will often knock people for six. So we do ask them to contact us. We would then speak to the service provider. We'd obviously send them out letters, and we'll just give them support. Also, sometimes service providers, you know, they might not have meant to do that. They just literally don't understand what their responsibilities are under the law. So we will try to work with them to educate them to ensure that it doesn't happen to the next person.
Well, it's great to hear a good news story about access for a guide dog and the guide dog owner as well. To Janet, thank you very much for joining us, and well done on that recognition as well. Some great service there. And to Emma from Guide Dogs, thank you for speaking with us on Insight Radio.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from RNIB's Insight Radio. For more podcasts, check out insightradio.co.uk.